Alex.
How many years?
25.
Believe it or not, Mahaprabhu, I cannot hear you. Unprecedented phenomena. For a quarter of a century, every Friday evening, this program has been going on. I recall at the beginning, this was a garage. Yes? Quite dilapidated and simple. And over the years, they have transformed a simple, ordinary, common garage into the eternal abode of the Supreme Personality of God. How many garages are like this in Mumbai? Probably tens and thousands. Krishna consciousness is the process of transformation. To convert material energy into spiritual energy through the process of devotion. That is the power of bhakti. Bhakti can manifest the original spiritual potency even within material objects and completely materialistic states of consciousness. Some practitioners of yoga feel that one can just go on with one's materialistic ways of life and do some breath control, asana, and maybe some meditation, and through this process one can achieve liberation or lasting peace. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna rejects this idea. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita matma vasehi asyendrini tasya tatragya pratishtha. One must restrain the mind and senses from material enjoyment. Otherwise, so-called yoga is not spiritual. It's just another type of materialistic way of trying to improve a materialistic life. A yogi is one who controls the mind and controls the senses. So there are others on the yogic path who go to another extreme. And that is that to not have anything to do with anything, to seclude oneself or recluse oneself from material energy and enter into a state of total deprivation of the senses and the mind from any types of enjoyment. The defect or shortcoming with that is again that the repulsion to material objects is another side of attraction to material objects. Therefore, through this process, yes, we can empty our mind and senses from material desires for their objects for some time. But that's the end of it. There's just that state of peace from just an empty mind and an empty heart. But what is the greatness of bhakti? Why it is the topmost of all yogic systems? Yoginam api sarvesham matyate nantaratmana sharavam bhajate yomam samegutatamam. After describing the various yogic systems in Gita, Krishna says, one who abides me with faith and devotion is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Because aham sarvasya prabhavo mati sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhudhama bhava samandhata. Krishna says, all material and spiritual worlds emanate from me. This is a very important principle to understand. Everything emanates from Krishna. All spiritual worlds and all material existence emanates from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. Thus, the wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Because everything is emanating from Krishna, everything is essentially spiritual. Prabhupada explained, the difference between material and spiritual is consciousness. Even in Gita, Krishna tells, Daivi Heshu Gunamai, Mama Maya Duratega. He's talking about the material energy of the three modes, and he's saying, this divine energy of mine. We don't generally think of the material energy consisting of the three modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, and goodness, which are considered like ropes that are just constantly strangling us and dragging us down to so many lowly activities. Is that divine? But from Krishna's point of view, it is divine. Because it is emanating from him. It's originally, everything is spiritual. What makes it material? When the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, does not see something's relationship to God. And to see is practical. If you see something, then you will act accordingly. Yes? If you say, oh, I see fire in the house, and you sit in front of your television thinking, I'll do something about it at the station break. You're not seeing fire in your house. If you actually see fire in your house, you'll call the fire department, you'll get sand or water, and you'll put it out. So if we're actually seeing Krishna in something, in everything, then in every single situation in life, we will be seeing the opportunity to serve him at all times. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he's happy to see you. So to understand that Krishna is the source of everything means everything is Krishna's energy. And Krishna's energy is meant for Krishna's satisfaction. The essence of all Krishna's energies is Hladini Shakti, his pleasure potency. Hladini, Samvit, Sandini. All of the energies of the Lord are meant for the service of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada taught us the science, or let us say the art, of transforming a material existence, which is dukalaya mashashvata, janma mrityu chara vyadi, which is miserable due to birth, old age, disease, and death, to turn that, to transform that same energy into an experience of Vaikuntha. That is the power of bhakti. By the power of our consciousness, our awareness, that Krishna is to be served by the expression of our love in all places, in all times, and in all circumstances. In that consciousness, Krishna reveals himself to his devotees. Gita tells, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him he is never for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is transformation. Prabhupada was saying, the filthy streets of the Bowery, devotees took him on morning walk, and they took him to a really low down, dirty slum. And they felt very embarrassed. Prabhupada, we are sorry we have taken you here. And Prabhupada said, oh, you do not see? And they said, well, we see trash, and we see tramps on the road, and we see garbage, and we see rats. Oh, you do not see? This is Vaikuntha. Prabhupada was seen by Vaikuntha. Now actually, with the eyes, he was seeing the same rats and the same dirt and the same drunkards laying in the street. But in his consciousness, he was seeing the opportunity to serve Krishna. He was seeing that it's spiritual energy. Just all of these people, all of this awareness has forgotten its spiritual essence, its spiritual substance. But he is seeing the substance, the essence, which is Krishna. And Prabhupada saw every living being as a devotee, because he's seeing the essence that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. The fact every living being is a pure devotee. Now, if your friend is in a dream, and they're dreaming that they're falling off a mountain, and they're screaming, you take it seriously that the person is suffering because of the dream, but you understand that dream really has nothing to do with him. He's only suffering because he's identifying with somebody he's not, with a situation that is not real. Maya means that which is not. We are all essentially part of Krishna. We're his spiritual energy. We're devotees. Prabhupada once said, many times actually, said, the whole world are my disciples. Some know it, and some are not aware of it. His disciples means he's the representative of Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada is seeing the potential of pure unalloyed devotion in everyone because he's seeing the substance within everyone. And he would look in an ordinary building, and he would see the potential of using that for Krishna and how actually it's Vaikuntha. But people are not seeing it that way. They're not understanding it that way. From the point of view of the Mahabhagavat, every garage in Bombay is Vaikuntha Loka. But out of love and concern for the people who don't see it, we want to transform it in such a way that people can actually recognize it and actually transform it. This is bhakti. An ordinarily broken down old common garage turned into a beautiful temple of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Natavara. Sri Radharani and Gopinathji are dancing 24 hours a day in this garage. And for the last 25 years, devotees have come. And many people, by coming to this transformed garage, their hearts were transformed. Many of you today, like this garage, your hearts were just ordinary, typical, mundane places to park the vehicle of all of your material desires, aspirations, and attachments. Yes? But by coming here, that vehicle was moved out, and Radha and Krishna have come to dance in your heart, and now you're doing puja, and you're doing japa, and you're doing kirtan, and harikatha, and Vaishnav seva. The story of this garage is the story of what we want to do to people's hearts. There's nothing extraordinary about materialistic people. Whether they're big, big politicians, or cricket stars, or Bollywood heroes or heroines, or whether they're big industrialists, there's nothing extraordinary about that. Nayan deho deha vajanda loke. It's actually all of that stuff that we consider so prestigious and glamorous is seen by a Vaishnav as just the activities of the dogs and hogs that eat stool at evil. We see the billboards of these famous stars of Bollywood and Hollywood, and the world is thinking, oh, if only I could meet him or her. But we just see just another hog eating the stool of materialistic enjoyment. What a sorrowful sight. Hare. However, we could even transform the dilapidated old garage hearts of those people so that they see their occupations as an opportunity to serve Krishna. And pull out all the junk and the storage of material desires from their garages and install Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Natavara through the association of devotees and the sincere chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada did this so many places. In 1968, I believe, he went to Montreal and he transformed a bowling alley into a beautiful temple. Do you know what bowling alley is? Well, in America, they don't know what cricket is. Bowling alley is a game. Very, very exciting game. It's a very glamorous, exciting game. What you do is you take a big, heavy, round ball. How much do they weigh? They probably weigh about 15 kilos. Heavy balls. And you just roll it as fast as you can. You just roll it down this track. And if it goes to the right or left, it goes put in a gutter and you lose. And then when you just roll it, and it just rolls and it rolls, and once you start rolling it, you're not allowed to touch it. You have to just let it roll and let it roll, and you're just watching. You can't cross the line. And then there's, what, 10 pins? There's 10 pieces of wood that are just standing, and you're supposed to try to knock all of them down with this ball. Honey ball, it's a bowling alley. Does that sound exciting to you? Today, people are too passionate to do bowling. But back in the 1950s and 60s, it was one of the most popular sports of America. Bowling used to be on television. I remember Saturday night in Chicago, it was prime time. Watching bowling matches where a guy just rolls his ball and he's and then it knocks down 2 pins. However many you get, how many member pins you've knocked, they mark it and you win or lose. Really boring. Really boring. But people are so bored that watching this gives them relief from their boredom. Can you imagine how bored you have to be to think of that as exciting? Anyway, Prabhupada went to a bowling alley and made it into a temple. Hare Krishna temple. Third Hare Krishna temple in the world. In New York City, matchless gifts. It was just a shop with all kinds of junk. Yes, just junk. Things, but people just, kind of poor people who can't afford to go to nice shops. They go to this little Lower East Side little junk shop and buy little junky cheap things. And then it was used just as a warehouse for junk. And yes, like our hearts. Our hearts is just nothing but a warehouse of junk. But we're so attached to this junk. You know what junk is, don't you? It's useless. But by Prabhupada's mercy, just as he turned a warehouse of junk into the abode of Radha and Krishna, he has done that for our hearts. Radha Gopinath Temple. We haven't yet come to the 25 years. We're junior to Mahaprabhu Prabhu's temple in time. But for those of you who saw it in the past, one little room about half this size was all we had. And there was all kinds of crazy things going on. And now, by Prabhupada's mercy, thousands of people are coming to chant and dance, and Radha Gopinath are revealing themselves in such a beautiful way. So yes, by the power of bhakti, we can transform hearts. We can transform garages. We can transform buildings. We can transform planets into Vaikuntha lokas. Simply by awakening the propensity of loving service to Krishna. And that is what Janmashtami is really about. We have just had the Abhishekam. It is the Car Center's little Janmashtami celebration tonight. Krishna descends into this world to transform people's hearts, to attract people from a life of suffering and bondage to a life of happiness and freedom, to transform consciousness of exploitation and selfishness to consciousness of loving devotional service. It is for this reason Krishna appears in this world, to speak the absolute truth, to reveal the wonderful pastimes of the spiritual world, to attract our hearts. And to inspire us to hear about him, to chant his holy names, and to render loving service. Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are of the sweetest nature, because the reciprocation of Krishna with his Vrijvasis is of the most ecstatic pleasure to both the devotee and Krishna. In Vrindavan, the Vrijvasis would regularly complain against Krishna. This is extraordinary. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami describes it. He says, he quotes Krishna, that when the sages, rishis, and even the demigods, when they praise and glorify me with authorized Vedic hymns, I do not even experience a particle of the satisfaction as when the Vrijvasis chastise me with harsh words. Now, to try to explain that to a person of a Western religion, very difficult. God is great. God is almighty. God is the wielder of thunderbolts. But God likes to be chastised by his devotees, because of the nature of intimacy in love. So yes, when Krishna was just a small boy, it describes, Sukadev Goswami tells us how Krishna and Balaramji were in the arms of Rohini and Yashoda. And little by little they began to grow, just like ordinary children. And soon they were crawling through the cowherd pens, goshalas, grabbing onto the tails of the calves and being dragged through the cow dung and the mud of Braj. And gopis would watch, and they would laugh and laugh and laugh. And Krishna and Balaram, they would become afraid, and they would run to their mothers. Sometimes they would see a monkey, or they'd see a bull's horns, or they'd see a bird's claws. And they'd become afraid, and they'd go crawling, crawling, crawling to their mother, crawling, crawling, crawling. And they'd crawl, 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 with tears in their eyes, and then they'd come up, and they'd see that it wasn't their mother, it was another gopi. Then they would cry and start crawling back to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda would see all this, pick Krishna up. Oh, my, you're so afraid. Yashoda and Rohini were always in anxiety that Krishna may be stuck by a thorn, or bit by a monkey, or stepped on by a cow. No. This was their love. And Krishna Balaram, they perpetuated that love by really always showing hunger and thirst and fear. Soon they began to walk. And just after walking, they began their leelas of stealing butter. yogurt. And gopis would come to complain to Yashoda Mai, do you know what your Krishna is doing? So many complaints they'd lodge. And Krishna was enjoying hearing these complaints so much. Although just to make everything so intimately real, that as they were complaining, Krishna would be trembling in fear. He would have crocodile tears in his eyes. And he would say, no, mother, no, mother. And he would look at her so innocently, like, I would never do something like that. And the gopis would say, your Gopal, he's looking at you like he's not doing, but you don't know what's really in his mind as he's looking like this. He's just thinking of stealing again. And when Yashoda Mai, oh, I will keep him alive. No. Because actually, the prize of the gopis' hearts was simply the opportunity to complain against Krishna. Because please know that their complaints were actually glorification of Krishna. A deeper glorification of intense love than the hymns of the Vedas. So how is it that Krishna sees the chastisement of the Vrijavasis millions of times more pleasing than the Brahmins and the Devas chanting hymns? Because Krishna's bhavagrahi. Krishna sees the emotions and the purpose in which everything is being offered. So the Vrijavasis' chastisements were in such deep, pure, intimate love, with total surrender of their body, mind, words, hearts, and souls, total surrender for Krishna's satisfaction. That was the sweetness of the mood in which they chastised, and therefore Krishna accepted it so pleasing. Similarly, Bhishma was shooting arrows in Krishna. But according to his relationship with Krishna, those arrows, he was glorifying Krishna. He was offering his purest love in the form of arrows. And although they were piercing Krishna's body, Krishna was feeling them like flower petals offered by another devotee. Because he accepts our love. So after all gopis complained against Krishna, then the next day the gopas came to complain against Krishna. Balaram and the little gopas, they were very small at this time, still living in Mahavan. That means Krishna was hardly 3 years old. Just playing. And they told Yashoda Mai that, do you know what your Gopal did today? And near the bank of Yamuna, in a secluded place, he was eating dirt. Huh? Yashoda Mai became so afraid in her heart. Gopal is eating dirt? She became very, very anxious. Now for those of you who are mothers, or know someone who is a mother, would you be in anxiety if you heard that your 3-year-old child was feasting on dirt? Huh? Multiply that by millions of times, and you get the anxiety of Yashoda. Why? Why is a mother in anxiety if her child eats dirt? What is the reason? Because she loves the child. Actually, if you read in the newspaper about some 3-year-old child in Chennai that ate dirt. You'd just say, oh, poor thing. But it wouldn't really move your heart to anxiety, yes? Because you don't love that child. But if your own child eating dirt, you just want to take it to Bhaktivedanta Hospital or something. Anxiety. So to the degree the motherly love is there, to that degree there's going to be anxiety when there's apparent danger to the object of your love. So Yashoda Mai was in anxiety. We cannot understand her anxiety, because she was thinking Krishna to be her child, helpless, without her help. So she chanted. First the gopis chastise Krishna. Then Balaram and the gopas start complaining against Krishna. And now Yashoda Mai, she's saying, Krishna, why did you do this? Why did you eat dirt? You had to eat dirt. Otherwise, why is your cowherd boyfriends complaining against you? They don't like to see you beaten. And besides that, Balaram is standing right here before you at this very moment, and he is testifying that you ate dirt. So it must be true. Krishna said, I did not eat dirt. He said, Mother, I did not eat dirt. Honest, I didn't. All my friends are speaking lies against me. Now the fact is, Krishna did eat dirt. And Krishna's saying, I didn't eat dirt. Now we read this in the 10th canto about Krishna. In the very first canto, first verse, Param Satyam Dhimahi. The very beginning of the Bhagavatam describes Krishna as the absolute truth. Yes? And we've gone through all these 9 cantos with so much deep philosophy and logic and leelas and histories. 9 cantos. From the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it declares Krishna as the absolute truth, and it's taken us 9 cantos to realize how the absolute truth tells lies. How is this? This is a very high subject matter. Can the absolute truth speak anything that's not absolutely true? What do you say?
No.
No. Harivala Maharaj, thank you. Whatever the absolute truth speaks is absolutely true. But what is the highest truth? The highest truth is the love between Krishna and his devotees. That love is transcendental to all the dualities of this material existence. Transcendental to all morality and immorality, ethics and unethics, sin and piety. All of these conditions are simply within the modes of material nature. Janma karma chale divyam evam yo veti tattva tatyatva deham punara janma naiti mameti suroche. But Krishna's appearance and activities are divine. Tri bir guna mayaya bhavaya, they are above the 3 modes of material nature. They are transcendent. They are in the realm of ecstatic love. Therefore, Mother Yashoda, who is in Vatsalya Bhav, who loves Krishna with parental affection, her love increases as Krishna puts her in anxieties. So by Krishna eating dirt, and Krishna lying about his not eating dirt, yes? It simply giving deeper ecstatic experience of love to Yashoda. So therefore, no, he's not speaking a lie. When Krishna says, I did not eat dirt, those words are the crest jewel of the highest truths. Because it is facilitating and invigorating deeper and deeper ecstasies of pure love.
Avajananti mamudha manusim tanamashvata param bhavamajananto mamabhuta maheshwara.
Gita tells, fools deride me when they see me as an ordinary being. They do not understand my supreme dominion in all that be. So materialistic people will say, why? Why you worship a god that lies? After all, yad yad achidati strestas tata devo tirujanasa yad paramanam kurute lokas tata nuvartate. As great men do, common people follow, and if Krishna is the greatest, then if he lies, everyone will lie. Yes? Does that make sense?
Nobody's answering my question.
It makes sense. It makes sense to those who are on a level of nonsense. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he established the principles of the highest dharma, sarva dharma parityajya. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if I did not act, the whole world would perish. Great men must follow this standard for others to follow. But Vrindavan Leela is not the Krishna who is Vasudev, who descends to the world to establish the principles of morality and dharma. Vrindavan is Krishna's eternal home. It is the land of intimate love. And Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is attracting us to this highest platform of spiritual love. So we must understand through the teachings of the Acharyas. And we find the greatest of the Acharyas, who live the highest standards of purity in all respect, they are worshipping Krishna as Param Satyam Dhimahi, as the ultimate absolute truth to be worshipped and meditated upon. So yes, Krishna saying, no, mother, I did not eat dirt, is the essence of all pure truths. Because it stimulated deeper love. Mother Yashoda said, why are you speaking like this? How can you say no when Balaram is standing right before you with his friend saying he saw you? Krishna said, they are telling lies against me, mother. If you don't believe me, then you just look in my mouth and you see. Mother Yashoda said, oh, yes. Yes, I want to see. You open your mouth. Let me see. And Krishna opened his mouth. His little mouth. And according to Lord Brahma, Yashoda looked in the mouth and she actually saw what was in his belly. His belly. It's only this big. His mouth this big. She looked in his mouth. She was astonished. She became disoriented. She saw within her little baby's mouth the entire universe. She saw the demigods. She saw all living entities. She saw all the mountains and the oceans and all the forests and deserts She saw the personification of the three modes of material nature. She saw the personification of Dharma and Adharma. She saw all moving and non-moving beings. She saw the laws of karma. She saw all the variegatedness of the entire universe within the mouth of Krishna. And when she looked closer, she saw Vrindavan, Gokul, and she saw the Vrijavasis. She saw Nanda Maharaj. And then she saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. She saw that Krishna was within the universe, and at the same time, Krishna, whose mouth it was in, was outside of the universe. She became very much astonished. And she began to think, with folded hands, trembling, "What am I seeing? How is this possible? Am I dreaming? I can't be dreaming because my eyes are open. And are the demigods putting some illusory spell over me? I'm just an ordinary woman. Why would the demigods pay attention to an insignificant woman like me? Am I mentally deranged? No, my mind is quite sound." Oh. Then she began to think the words of Garga Muni. Garga Muni told us that your son will perform supernatural activities because he is as good as Narayan. And people believe what Garga Muni said. And people believe him. Why? Because they saw that he killed Putana. They think that he killed Putana. They think that he killed Trinavarta and Shakatasura. And he knocked down the Arjuna trees. And she was thinking. But when Krishna approaches me, he's hungry. He cries because he wants food. And he gets thirsty. And he cries and he gets angry when I don't give him the milk from my breast. And not only that, so many times he comes running to me in fear. And unless I cuddle him and embrace him, he won't stop crying and trembling. So how can he be as good as Narayan? So she utterly dismissed all the words of Garga Muni. And then she began to think that when something is totally incomprehensible, what I'm seeing in my child's mouth, but it's incomprehensible. She couldn't give up her motherly affection. So there was only one recourse: to take shelter of the Supreme Lord Narayan. In inconceivable situations that are not fathomable to our mind or intelligence, we can only just surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. And then Yashoda Mai began to offer her prayers to Lord Vishnu. "Oh my Lord, it is because Nanda Maharaj and myself have worshipped you throughout our lives, and my father-in-law, Parjanya, performed severe austerities, that we were given a child like Krishna by your grace, Lord Narayan. Now please, please protect him. It's only by your grace that he was saved from Putana and Trinavarta and Shakatasura and all other dangers. Please, Lord Narayan, always protect my child, Krishna." And then she began to think. In this mood, of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, that under your illusory energy, I am thinking that I'm the wife of Nanda Maharaj, and therefore I am the queen of all of Vrindavan. And all the gopis and all the gopas are my subjects. And that I am not only honored, but I am the proprietor of my property. And I'm the mother of Krishna. But actually, I'm not the proprietor of anything. Everything is only happening by your grace. I am insignificant. It is only your mercy, O Supreme Lord Narayan, that I am the wife of Nanda, that I'm the queen of Braj, and that I'm the mother of Krishna. I can claim no proprietorship. I can claim no possessiveness over anything. I am helpless. I can only pray to you, O Lord. Please protect my loving son, Gopal. This was a very, very transcendental, clever trick from Krishna. Because when Yashoda Maya looked in his mouth, if she saw dirt, he would have gotten in big trouble. Now, actually, the dirt was there. In fact, all the dirt in the entire universe was in his mouth. But because what she saw, she completely forgot all about the complaint that Krishna ate dirt. Krishna manifested his Aishwarya, his opulence to Yashoda, without in any way disturbing her motherly affection. She didn't believe, even though she was seeing it in his mouth, she didn't believe it could be him that was causing it. She was thinking, I don't understand. So she prayed to the Supreme. In this way, Yashoda Mai forgot about the dirt and all the complaints. But now she's praying to Lord Narayan to protect Krishna. She's thinking that she's not the doer of anything. And as she was offering this particular prayer, Krishna began to think, if she's thinking like this, then who will embrace me and who will cuddle me and who will kiss me and feed me milk from her breast? If she's thinking that she's not the doer, that I'm not depending on her, that everything is happening by the will of Narayan. So just when he thought this, the yoga maya potency caused Yashoda Mai to completely forget that she saw anything in Krishna's mouth. Her motherly affection for Krishna just grew within her heart just by being stimulated by Krishna's affection. This is how pure bhakti manifests. When we attain that state of prema through the purification of the heart, when love of God awakens in our heart, then the various ecstasies of that love are awakened according to Krishna's affection. Krishna's bhakta vatsal. That means he's very affectionate to his devotees. And according to the particular mood of the affection that he feels toward his devotees, that stimulates a particular type of love within the heart of the devotee. So yes, little Gopal was just feeling this affection for Yashoda. The affection that, I want your love as a mother, not as a worshiper of Narayan. So that stimulated, it awakened Mother Yashoda's motherly love to such a degree It wasn't that she simply forgot the Aishwarya or the opulence that she'd just seen. It's simply that her motherly affections just swelled up to such an extent, it totally obscured that other experience as insignificant. And again, she thought Krishna just to be her ordinary, helpless child. And she took Krishna on her lap and fed the milk from her breast. Now, Maharaj Parikshit was really astounded to hear about this. Such an incredible pastime. How is it that Mother Yashoda just saw the entire universe within the child's mouth, and yet she never stopped thinking of Krishna as an ordinary child, helplessly dependent on her? And then Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadev Goswami that the loving affection of Nanda and Yashoda is so deep and it's so great. They were personally witnessing and participating in the most intimate pastimes of Vrindavan. Whereas Devaki and Vasudev, they were Krishna's mother and father, but in no way did they experience the type of love and happiness as Nanda and Yashoda. Devaki and Vasudev love Krishna as a child with the understanding that he is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes and the source of everything. But Nanda and Yashoda, their love was beyond that by the will of Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj asked, what did Nanda and Yashoda do in the past to attain the position of being Krishna's mother and father in these beautiful pastimes with such love? Shukadev Goswami explained, Shukadev Goswami explained like this, that what the three Vedas, who the three Vedas declare to be the Yajna Purusha, the Supreme Lord of all sacrifices, and the scriptures of Sankhya, they glorify him as Purusha. And the Yoga Sutras, they glorify him as Paramatma. And the Pancharatra Sutras, they glorify him as Bhagavan. That same Supreme Absolute Person, Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, consider to be their own beloved, ordinary child. Shukadev Goswami explained like this, and Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know what they did in their past to deserve this highest realization of the Absolute. And he explained that on the order of Brahma, Drona and Dara were given a benediction. Brahma said to Drona that for you and your wife Dara, I will give you any benediction you so desire. And Drona Dara asked for this benediction, that we want to take birth on earth. And when we're on earth, let our child be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And while on earth, let him perform such beautiful, sweet pastimes which manifest pure unalloyed devotional service to the world. And by attracting people through his pastimes and teachings to pure devotional service, people will drown in the ocean of this devotional service, and they will forever be free from all the miseries and anxieties of materialistic life. Jonandara were preachers. They wanted the world to be delivered. They wanted the world to be free from all material miseries. They wanted the world to drown in the ocean of Krishna's love. Therefore, they prayed to be a part of Krishna's pastimes on earth to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls. And let our pastimes with the Lord display to the world the intimacy of pure love to attract the hearts of fortunate souls. Lord Brahma, so be it. It will be as you desire. Now Nanda and Yashoda are the eternal mother and father of Krishna. They descended from Goloka when Krishna appeared. And Drona and Dara, through their sadhana, attained perfection. And they merged into the bodies of Nanda and Yashoda in Sri Gokul Mahabhan to display to the world the supreme glories of pure devotional service. This is the meaning of Janmashtami. Krishna has come to the world to give us. We should not take it cheaply. Adoshuta tata sadhu sango tabhajana kriya tato narata nabhiti shatato nishtaru chistata. Rupa Goswami, who perfectly understood the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a confidential assistant of Sri Radharani in Goloka, Rupa Manjari. Rupa Goswami has descended into this world to reveal Lord Chaitanya's teachings in a systematic and practical way. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Radha and Krishna appeared in this world and performed the supreme pastimes of Prema to attract our hearts. But ordinary people, these pastimes are inaccessible. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Therefore, Radha and Krishna come. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikrati Yadini Shakti Rasma Ekatmana Vapi Bhuvi Papa Dehavitam Katao Tao Chaitanyakyam Prakata Madhunathadvayam Chaikyam Abtham Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna comes with the complexion and the loving sentiments of Radharani. The one Supreme Lord appears in the forms of Radha and Krishna for ultimate loving exchange, for spiritual pleasure. Now those two can become one, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is not only tasting the sweetness of Radha's love, but he wants to distribute it to everyone and anyone without discrimination. And how he is distributing it? He empowered Sri Rupa Goswami to describe the process. And therefore, the true followers of Lord Chaitanya are Rupa Anugas. They follow the teachings of Sri Rupa Goswami. The faith within our heart has attracted Krishna to bring us into the association of devotees. In that association, we learn the process of purifying the heart. Bhajana Kriya. We follow the four regulative principles sincerely. We learn the supreme attribute of being humble servants. We develop a taste, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, through serving great souls. We develop a taste to hear the glories of Vasudeva. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. We develop the taste for hearing about Krishna. And of all the processes of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya said the most important in this age of Kali especially is the chanting of the holy names. Through deity worship, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, associating devotees, chanting the holy names, going on pilgrimages to holy places, and performing seva, the heart becomes clean. The egoistic desires become removed. And gradually firm faith, and then ruchi. The actual eagerness to want to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, to want to please the Lord in everything we do. But that eagerness is not really true unless we are Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Divasi Hishna Amani Namanadena Kirtani Asada. Unless we're very humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, respectful to others, and devoid of false prestige, that we still have this jaundiced condition of false ego. Therefore, we cannot really taste the sweetness of the sugar candy of Krishna's transcendental names or glories. So yes, we must purify ourselves. It is not something cheap. We have to take it very seriously and approach it with dignity and honor. As Srila Prabhupada speaks in that beautiful purport we read the other day, a devotee should feel himself or herself unfit for very high things. We should simply aspire and long with eagerness to be in the association of devotees and serve the Vaishnavas, hear about Krishna, and chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And when Krishna is pleased, Bhakta Vatsal, by his affection for us, he awakens the dormant love within our hearts. Thank you very much. Mahaprabhu, Prabhu, Giri Govardhan, Alika Mataji, thank you for giving the devotees this wonderful place of worship for the past 25 years. This family is so special. They're so eager to serve everyone that they become angry if we don't come. How many of you have had that experience sometime? Chant Hari Bol if you have had that experience. Thank you very much. My sincere prayer that on this holy time of the year of Janmashtami, may the desire, the deep desire to serve the Lord and His devotees, to hear the glories and chant the names of the Lord, take birth and grow unlimitedly within all of your hearts. Hare Krishna. Now we shall have Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.